opportunity for us knocks today. We got a chance to be at the top of this division today. Let's go out here and show these people our confidence and our swagger today. When I say who are we, you say Saints. When I say are we ready, you say how. Who are we, Saints? 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 This is New Orleans.
Let's go, baby.
Let's go. We don't play much as anyway.
Let's go.
Hello, welcome everyone. Welcome once again to the Sports Opinion Show. I, of course, am your host, Matt Alvarez, broadcasting to you from California, along with my co-host, Eric Williams. Eric, how you doing?
Hey, Matt. What's going on, brother? Just another fun, exciting show. Put the seatbelts on, strap yourselves in real tight, because this is going to be one roller coaster ride.
Eric, of course, is broadcasting from PA. How's it going out there?
It's going great out. Sunny as hell. If we have anybody on the line waiting for us, I can hear the show in the background. Please turn that off. I can hear an echo. I know that that's from that. So.
No, there's nobody on the line over here except you.
Okay.
And you know, Eric, I don't know if you know, well, I'm sure you know, but maybe you don't, but today is somebody else's special birthday today.
Oh, let me guess, it's Nick's birthday today.
No, we've already been there and done that with him earlier in the year. Today is Lisa's birthday, and I told her you would sing for her on the show, so go ahead.
Is she in the chat room?
No, she's not.
she didn't get a happy birthday gift. Happy birthday, Lisa. Maybe not getting the same, but who we got in the chat room? Chat wrap-up for the week. Who we got in there?
Well, we'd like to welcome guest 3497, Xavier Ford, and, of course, DDP, and I know the chat room will only get bigger.
Right. DDP. Bang! Anyway, what's going on, Xavier Ford? Checking it out second weekend, I guess. Checking it out for UWA, who bought on last week during a Sean Damage interview. Got another big guest this week, and should be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Let's go ahead and start this with this interview. At this time, I'd like to welcome to the show, well, part of our UWA Elite segment that we do every Friday here on the Sports Opinion Show from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. I'd like to welcome to the show Tommy Guns Colburn. What's going on, Tommy?
What's going on, Eric?
What's going on? You know, hanging in there, you know. So, yeah, bring me on, and, you know, we do a UWA segment. You promote the crap out of UWA and just get the word out there, and, you know, we'll be talking, you know, bring you on, and, you know, later on we'll be having a, doing a little review of Crossroads after the interview.
Okay.
All right, figured I'd bring on and ask you a few questions and just promote you and UWA in general. First question that I always ask everybody is, how'd you get started watching wrestling? AKA, or, you know, can you go into, like, how'd you get started wrestling?
Well, when I was growing up, my family, we lived with my grandparents, and I remember I went food shopping with my grandpa once, and for some reason, when I was growing up, I was really big into, like, cowboys and Indians, and I was looking at this one DVD once, and it said, Gorgeous George versus Jesse James, and for some reason, I thought that was, like a cowboy or something like that, so I asked my grandpa to buy me the DVD, and it was only, like, $5 or whatever, and when I got home, I was like, oh, this is wrestling, and I watched the match, and I thought it was pretty cool, and then as I got older, I was a big WCW fan and stuff like that, and then, I remember in, like, 1998, in this mall right by me, The Rock was actually signing autographs, and it was before I even knew who The Rock was or, like, how big wrestling really was, and I was just like, you know, I want to go check it out, and when I met The Rock, I was just like, wow, and ever since then, I just in love with wrestling.
Now, who are some of your favorite wrestlers growing up? I mean, you just said that you watched CCW, and, you know, you met The Rock. Who were some of those guys growing up that you you wanted to be like?
Definitely The Rock. I was a big fan of Hulk Hogan when I was really younger because, you know, he did the whole, like, I am a real American thing, and then I actually started hating him when he became in the NWO. And then as I got older, I realized, wow, that was actually really cool. I was a big Goldberg fan growing up. I was always a fan of Shawn Michaels and Stone Cold Steve Austin, and I liked Mankind. You know, the normal amount of people. There was really nobody, like, unordinary that I would say that I liked more that everyone was like, oh, that's weird, so.
Okay. So, now how did you get involved or contacted by UWA?
Growing up, I was actually good friends with a couple people on the roster, and I remember in maybe about 2 years ago, I talked to Eric Corvus, and he was saying how he would train, you know, me and a group of my friends or whatever, so I decided, you know, I may never get another shot at trying wrestling, and, you know, that's everybody's dream when they're younger is to become a pro wrestler, so I trained with him and did that for about a year, and then when I found out that UWA was starting up, they were like, listen, you know, if you want to come wrestle with us, you're more than welcome to, and I was like, okay, you know, it's a good place. A lot of the people that, like, I grew up watching on the indies, like Arcadia and, like, Quest and all them were there, so I was, me at the time, I was like, you know, I was like that six-year-old Mark again, so I jumped on the bandwagon, and here I am.
Your first show with UWA, you wrestled Michael Massacre. What was your memories of that first match in UWA?
You know, to be quite honest, I don't remember too much. I just remember it was very fast paced. I remember I was really nervous going into it because I actually, you know, I was wrestling in front of people that, you know, have been doing this a lot longer than I had. So to me, I felt like I had a lot to prove. But I think, from what I remember, it was pretty fast-paced. It was a fun match, but in the end, you know, he got the one-up on me. So, you know, All I can hope to do is try harder and hope that, you know, if we ever get the, I get the opportunity to wrestle him again, the cards will be in my favor this time.
Right, right. Going to another show, a show that we've talked about this in every interview we've had, from Dave Swan to TJ Blade to hell, even Sean Damage McNellis last week. We talked about Crossroads, the first Crossroads, and Swan had said it was, you know, crazy temperature, hot as hell, and people had to wrestle up to three matches. At that show, you wrestled Dr. John Bose. Memories on wrestling at Crossroads against Bose?
Man's quite intimidating. I mean, you know, like, Bose is, you know, someone that I always looked up to and whatnot, and I was happy to get to wrestle him. I remember taking one move, and I landed on, like, the part of the ring where the sun was, and I remember it felt like my skin melted off and stuff like that. Again, unfortunately, the cards weren't in my favor, but I remember, for me, it was a personal, like, victory because I was able to hang in there with somebody so seasoned like Bose, and, you know.
Right. You also got a chance to get another big opportunity early on in UWA. You had a tag match with Everett Cross. You guys wrestled Mike Quest and Cypress. Thoughts on wrestling Mike Quest and... You know, you got to wrestle Cypress in that match as well.
Cypress, ever since I first met him, he was somebody I always wanted to work with. And then I found out that I was wrestling Mike Quest, and immediately my jaw dropped because, you know, 3 years ago I was paying money to sit down and watch this guy wrestle people like Brody Lee and Necro Butcher, and I think he wrestled the New Age Outlaws before. And then here I was, you know, I'm not even a year into wrestling, and I have an opportunity to wrestle this guy. So immediately, like, the nerves were going. I was so worried that, you know, I wasn't going to be able to hang in there with him and stuff like that. And when, you know, all was said and done, I felt like I did, you know, I did well enough. And it was an honor, you know, because, like I said, that was somebody I grew up watching. And it's like, you know, for me to be able to do that, it was a cool feeling.
Right, right. Shortly after that match, a bit of controversy came up with you and UWA. Not so much it wasn't really started by you, but it was started by a four-letter, well, a person with a four-letter name by the name of Hits. Can you talk a little bit about that controversial, but yet, it was a bit disturbing, but it got UWA pretty much a lot of recognition, for some different reasons. Talk about those Hits videos.
Talk about a walk down memory lane. I remember wrestling my match, and I remember Everett Cross getting bumped, and then the next thing I know, I went to go give Cypress a crossbody, and he hit me with the core killer and then pinned me. And then the next thing I know, I'm laying there, and all of a sudden I hear this really creepy and stoic music. And the next thing I opened my eyes to is this giant, you know, 6'5", 6'6", you know, trying to, like, choke me and, like, all that stuff. And then the next thing I know, I wake up and I'm in a basement chained to a pole. As far as the videos go, it was terrifying. You know, I got electrocuted. I was getting whipped with a belt, getting choked. And then, you know, moment of desperation, I was able to get free and, you know, I was lucky to get out of there, but psychologically, like, I remember there were a couple of weeks where I would come out from behind the curtain, and first thing I would do is turn back and make sure Hits wasn't coming after me. And I think a couple more times after my matches, he actually ran out and chased me, and I was lucky enough to get away. But it was not a fun experience.
Do you still worry about that, by Hits?
It's always in the back of my mind, but I feel like, you know, We haven't really seen too much of it, so I feel like I'm kind of on, like, a little mini vacation from it whatsoever, you know, at the point, but who knows? I mean, if he comes back, I'm definitely going to be on, you know, the lookout. I'm definitely going to, you know, keep the eyes in the back of my head and observe it at all times as well, you know?
Right, right. After the whole thing with Hits, hotter than hell, you wrestled Vin Grayson. I believe that's a match that Vin Grayson got attacked as well.
Yeah, I remember you know, he's being a big loudmouth, and I didn't like that, so I told him, you know, I'm gonna stand up for that, and we ended up wrestling, and I remember he cheated, I believe, to beat me, and then the next thing I know, Hicks runs out, and against my better judgment, I went to go help him to protect him from getting attacked, and the next thing I know, I got booted in the face, and then Vinny was gone, and he was on his own, you know, set of Hicks videos.
Right. Off of that, you wrestled Maximum on All-Stars, another guy who really did a lot of good things in UWA, up-and-comer. Memories on that whole match?
Well, on the record, you know, I'll go and say that Maximum is one of the people in this business that I have a lot of respect for because we both kind of started at the same time. Tremendous talent, you know, he's so athletic, and, you know, for me to be able to wrestle with him, it was a lot of fun. It was cool because I was finally getting to wrestle somebody that was closer to my size, and it wasn't about a title, it wasn't about anything, it was just two people who generally had a respect for each other going out there and doing what they loved, and, you know, Maximum got the upper hand on me, and, you know, of course, everyone likes to get their hand raised and whatnot, but it was a lot of fun, and, you know, I have a lot of respect for Maximum, and I was happy I got to wrestle him, and then I even believe the next week, you know, the fans wanted to see it again, and we got to wrestle a second time, and both times, you know, it was just awesome experience.
Right. Out of those two matches, what was your favorite? Which one was your favorite?
I feel like the first one was our favorite because I remember the second one, the Paravel came out and attacked us, so that really, you know, put a damper in it. But I believe the first one was better because that one, you know, it was back and forth, and it was cutthroat, and didn't know which way it was going to go, and he just was able to capitalize on him the second, and, you know, it was just, to me, that one was a lot more fun because that one being as not only a wrestler, but as, like, a fan to it watching it, I was on the edge of my seat the entire time, so.
Right. Talking about the Paramount, at Mischief Nightmare, you team with TKO, Dermot Davis, and Maximum to take on the Paramount. Memories on that match?
Memories from that match. I think I was the first one knocked out of that match, but I remember getting tagged in. I remember coming in with a full head of steam, and then I made a mistake, and I turned around, and I was, like, you know, cheering out with my teammates, and then Quest came behind and hit me with a club, and I remember we were going at it for about 5 minutes, and actually, I got hit in the mouth, and I started spitting up blood and whatnot, and then I remember when I was finally getting back into my groove, Quest hit me with that finisher of his, and the next thing I know, you know, I'm out of the match. Other than that, I really don't remember too much of that match. I just remember the little bit of the beginning that I was in, and then once I got knocked out, I don't remember too much afterwards.
Right. Off of that, I believe that was the last time you were in UWA for a while.
Yes.
Okay. And your next show was Setting the Standard, if I'm not mistaken.
It was, yeah. Unfortunately, what happened after Mischief Nightmare, I was involved in an accident, and at the time I was going through a lot of things, and wrestling was actually at the bottom of my list because it was a rough time to get through, so I didn't even know if I was wrestling again and blah, 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 and then I actually was able to turn it around, and then, like you said, going into Setting the Standard, I was like, all right, you know, it's a new year, it's a new fresh start, new everything. So I was like, let me take this seriously. Let me run with this. You know, I wanted to make 2012 the year that everyone looked back and said, wow, you know, that was Tommy Colburn's year. So,
right. And at that show, you know, going into it, the first live pro show that you guys ran, sellout crowd, you and John Rome, memories on that match. You got your first victory in UWA against Rome.
There's really no word that can describe the emotion that I felt that night. Going into Setting the Standard, I'd never been so nervous for anything like I was that night. I remember waiting for my match with him, and I remember sitting there shaking, and then I remember being, you know, as nervous as I could ever be, and then once that music hit and I walked out, it just felt right for me, and then I remember, you know, wrestling the match, you know, trying to you know, out wrestle John Rome, trying to hang with him. And you know, John Rome is a very unorthodox wrestler, and that's what makes him so dangerous in the ring, because one minute he could be throwing you a curveball, and the next thing you know, you're getting hit with a slider, and it's just so he's so unpredictable. And for me to be able to get my first win like that in front of a crowd like that, and hear the fans chanting my name and stuff like that, it was like the best emotional high like anyone could ever ask for. Still to this day, no moment in my life has made me more like happy and proud of myself than that night at Setting the Standard.
Right. And off of that, you also wrestled RJ Gerhardt and Tech in a, I believe, Ultimate Turmoil qualified match. Memories on that triple threat?
RJ Gerhardt. And, I think I just wrestled RJ Gerhardt. I don't think Tech was in the match.
Oh, it says Ed Tech on the results, so.
I'm pretty sure it was just me and RJ that match, but, I remember I was a big fan of that match. I liked the way everything came out, and, you know, I was happy because not only did I get my second win, but, you know, I'm going to my second live show, and here I am, and I'm in the main event for the UWA Elite title, and at that time, I was just like, wow, you know, I picked up the ball, and I was going to run with that one as well as I could.
Right. Talk about being the main event of a show like that.
It was nerve-wracking. I mean, I don't think I was as nervous as I was for Setting the Standard, but I was, you know, the nerves were setting in, and I remember I was wrestling Hedges, and I'd wrestled Hedges a few weeks before, and he beat me up pretty badly, and he got the win over me. So, you know, going to this, I was like, all right, you know, I have the ball. I'm going to definitely try to run with this, and you know, I gave Hedges everything I had, but, you know, Hedges is a monster, and he's almost unstoppable in some points, and just, you know, that night he was on point, and, you know, like I said, I tried doing my best, but I guess, you know, I just have to work a little bit harder, and hopefully next time, you know, me and Hedges ever get in the ring, I'll be able to, you know, get the 1-2-3 over him.
Right. You know, I got a couple more questions to talk about.
Sure.
You got, we had this show that just happened, Crossroads, 8-man tag, we'll get into that later with, you know, me and Matt and everything, but Crossroads, what a great show it was. You were involved in a 8-man tag, which was, you know, it was a really good match, you know, for what, it, you know, for being an 8-man tag, and, you know, I kind of, you know, a lot of 8-man tags, in my opinion, kind of get, like, thrown in there, and they're just, like, random matches, and, you know. I thought this one was kind of told a good story, and it was good, and, you know, everything that happened in the match was good and clean, and, you know, talk about that match a little bit, you know, going into, like, you know, another big show, the Crossroads 2, you know, being on that show.
Like you said, as far as Crossroads goes, that was probably the best show that I think UWA Elite's ever put on. A lot of the fans that I was able to talk to afterwards thought the show was great. Going in the 8-man tag, you know, I had just, you know, that was the third time me and Elder Foreman had actually tagged together. You know, we had a lot of momentum going in behind the Strikers, you know, had his big victory over Rome. He had a lot of momentum going in. Chris Arreaz, you know, newcomer coming in with a nice big momentum. So I think, you know, Team Strike, we were just looking, going out there to, you know, shut up the heels and shut up the bad guys, you know, have a good time. And I remember at one point we were, you know, we're sitting there getting kind of nervous because the heels were, like, cheating around doing what they do, and, you know, they had Strike cut off and then came back. I remember breaking down at the end, and I just remember, like, boom, 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 move after move after move. And I remember RJ, you know, caught me from behind after I, you know, just dodged Brandon the Bull. And I was able to capitalize. I hit him with the Codebreaker, 1-2-3, and the next thing I know, you know, here we are. You know, all the Team Stripes standing on top.
Right. Pretty much, you know, if you have any final thoughts regarding UWA, you know, or final, you know, things to say, anything, you know, you want to say, get out there before we let you go.
First off, let me say July 20th, the 300th edition of UWA Elite, Live Action Zone. It's at Clifford, New Jersey. tickets are, you know, $12 in advance, $15 at the door. I mean, if there's anybody in the local Cliffwood, New Jersey area or, like, the Old Ridge, South River area, I mean, check it out. Last time we were there, we had a lot of fun. Hopefully this time it'll be just as much fun. Other than that, you know, I want to thank UWA for giving me some opportunities. Like I said, like, if you were to ask me 3 years ago, would I ever think that, let alone would I be a pro wrestler, but would I be able to, you know, would I be wrestling with guys like Quest and Eric Corvus and Arcadia? I would have said you were crazy. So, you know, I'm just glad that I'm getting the opportunity to, you know, live my dream, you know?
Right, right. Once again, that's UWAElite.com. This is Tommy Guns Coburn. Tom, I'd like to thank you for coming on the show. Good luck in the... What was that?
I was saying, thank you for having me.
Yep, and we'll talk to you very soon, okay?
All right, man, take it easy.
All right.
All right, that was a good interview. Oh, man.
That was
great.
Yep. We joined by, we'll be doing a review in about 2 minutes. Let me get the second person on the show. Got anything to, you know, what'd you think of the interview, Matt?
The interview was great. The interview was very awesome. He tells a very compelling story with that interview. Awesome.
Awesome. What's the chat room? What's going on in the chat room, anything?
Oh, we've got people that chat room fills up for a while, but then after, you know, a few minutes, it dies down, but then it builds back up again. So,
well, who do we got in the chat room? Still Ford, Xavier Ford.
No, Xavier left. We got DDP, yes, 34.97, and of course Andrew Mack in there.
Fucking
waiting on you.
You didn't say that.
No, I said that.
Okay. Well, I'll be calling in about a minute. He would call in. We'd like to thank UWAElite.com for all they're doing. Crossroads was great.
Yes, it was.
We'll get into that
awesome.
In 1 minute. Give me 1 minute. I'm going to call our guest, and we'll review the show top to bottom and promote the hell out of it. All right, let me get 1 second.
Well, while Eric does that, you know, ladies and gentlemen, it's been crazy. Because apparently people now think that Tony Romo is a better quarterback than Eli Manning. We'll get into that later. I don't know how that's possible. Got lots of wrestling news and stuff. The SmackDown / Bash at the Beach show, it was okay except the way they tried to promote it. I didn't agree with that at all. So, Teddy Long wearing a goofy cooking hat and wearing clothes like he's in Jamaica, which he's not. I didn't get that at all. I just didn't understand that. But they did virtually better than Raw.
Alrighty. With that being said, we do have our second guest of the show to review UWA Elite Crossroads. That being the one and only king of UWA, King Tech. What's going on, Tech?
Not much. How are you? I would like to say hello to all my loyal subjects out there. Hello, hello.
Doing great. Just wanted to bring you on and talk some UWA, promote UWA, promote yourself, promote Crossroads. Everybody go to UWAElite.com. Check out Crossroads if you haven't already. It was a phenomenal show. We'll talk about that. I can't really speak about Action Zone yet. Did not get a chance to watch it. Usually it's up at 9:00 Eastern time. We won't go into that. wasn't up at 9:00 yesterday when I went to go check. But anyway, Crossroads, man, I'll tell you right now, the show itself, me and Matt got a chance to watch it. Matt can throw in little 2 cents in when he can. Crossroads was... It was great. I watched last year's Crossroads. I thought Crossroads last year was awesome. I was looking for, it's probably one of those shows that I like to watch because I like a lot of wrestling. I like a lot of matches on shows. But this year's Crossroads delivered, and the first match of the show was Joey Chaos taking on Kyle Wynett and Brian Brass in the first round. That match was hard-hitting. Joey Chaos got hit fucking destroyed on some occasions. Kyle Wynett is a beast. Brian Brass
yes,
is a beast
is.
As well. You know? Kyle Wynett, man, he's just coming in his own as, like, you know, one of those beasts, you know? What a great match that was.
Over the years, I've been in the ring with all three of them, and very many, many times. And let me tell you, all three of them are dangerous for their different reasons. Brian Brass is a very large man. You got to be careful with him in the ring. Chaos nowadays is like he's a creeper, and you don't know where he's coming from ever. You know, he's obsessed with tickling and torture. He's like hits now, so you don't know how you can't trust him. And Kyle Wynett has come so far since the old days of UWA. He is a masterpiece. He is one of the best physically fit wrestlers inside of the UWA, and he is by far the most talented, raw talented wrestler we have.
Right. He's such a beast, man. Like, he just, that triple threat, man, honestly, like, I always say this about, you know, about shows, wrestling shows in general, you got to start off, You got to start a show off with a great match, and Crossroads did it again with putting on that triple threat as the opener, and it was, you know, phenomenal. And yeah, what a great match. Second match of the night was your match.
Yeah, that was me versus Michael Massacre and Mike Quest.
Right.
I don't think it's very fair for me to review my own match, so maybe you should.
Right, yeah, of course. Well, I'll review it, of course. And, you know, first things first, for the stuff you've done and over the years, you've done some fucking phenomenal work. I can never fucking imagine you still fucking seeing you doing fucking Dragon Ranas at however old you are. You're like 60. You're like 60 or 70 years old now. You're like a goddamn fucking, you're like a fucking troll. Somebody with me right now is fucking like talking shit, but I gotta shut him up. You know, a 60-year-old man doing fucking Dragon Rana is kind of ridiculous, but whatever.
No matter how old I am, I have the power of the people behind me, and at these live shows that we've been putting on, Setting the Standard, Ultimate Turmoil, and Crossroads, the capacity crowds are what drive me to do all these crazy things. I feel like I'm 18 again. Yeah, I may be a little bit older. I'm 26 years old, but so what?
Come on, just kidding. You're kidding yourself. You're 66, okay?
all right, fine.
But yeah, your match was great, and you know, you showed the intensity coming out. And I fucking, you know, usually when people come out and do their entrances, you can kind of tell where their mindset is. You came out, brand new music. I haven't heard that song. You know, I like the old song better. But coming out, fucking all intense, fucking ready to go.
I got to be honest with you. I had that match. I really did. And the Paramount, again, robbed that match for me. They robbed the Crossroads crown, as I like to put it, because I would have melted it down into a crown. Yes, if I ever win the belt, yes, I will melt it down into a crown. That is my promise to the fans if I ever become UWA champion. But anyway, Paramount, Mike Quest, he came in there and he robbed that match from me. I was definitely going to advance, man. I definitely was going to win Crossroads. It was the time. Every reign has its beginning. But, you know, there's other guys in UWA. They're up and coming, too. Not just, you know, I'm not the only one out there that goes crazy. Speaking of, the next match, Drake Chambers versus Dr. John Bowes and Chris Redfield.
Right. That match was good. I mean, Dr. John Bowes, man, he's just so underrated, you know, big guy, can work, you know, can actually do a lot of good stuff. Drake Chambers, newcomer, Chris Redfield, veteran, you know, has done a lot of good, you know, a lot of indie, you know, stuff in the Jersey area, Northeast area.
That was a very good match. A few of the fans after the show, you know, as being a king of the people, I like to mingle with the fans after the show. There's a few of them. I tallied it up vote-wise, and out of the semifinal matches, it was Drake Chambers, John Bowes, and Chris Redfield that was the favorite.
I don't know. I wouldn't have voted for that, but you know, there's some things that kind
of
like,
everybody's entitled to their own opinion, of course.
Of course, honestly. I like the first match. I like the brass chaos.
What do you think of Drake Chambers? Is he a great new addition?
Yeah, it's a good addition. You know, we'll see how he fares against like the old comers. You know, the old school guys.
He suffered his first defeat, but we'll get into that.
We don't want to get way too ahead of ourselves. But I mean, he's talented. Bo's talented, and Redfield's getting to that level. Honestly, lately, I've been
being a part of the Paramount and all, he is a kind of dastardly kind of person, but you have to respect his technical prowess in the ring. He is an expert submission wrestler, and he really knows how to take apart body parts. You know, when I get in there with him, that's how I got to think. That's how my mentality's got to be. I got to be watching out for his reverse rigor four. I got to be watching out for him going after the knee, because if he gets onto your knee, that's it. And you saw that in that match over and time again in that match. Redfield just going for that knee. You know, he's like fixed.
Right. With you being a king, though, and, you know, you're talking a lot of, you know, you're talking a lot of negative stuff about the Paramount. With you being a king and they being, like, the top faction, do you feel threatened by the Paramount being a king?
Well, if you were to think back to Last Breath last year, 2011, I challenged me, Hot and Dangerous, and the Eddie Idol challenged the entire Paramount in the War Games match. And I laid out a promo a week before stating that the Paramount being in UWA is a threat to the entire roster. It's not just a threat to me.
Right,
it's not just a threat to Jake Chambers. It's a threat to everybody. Think about their inception. Think about how they first came into UWA, how they introduced themselves to us by taking out hot guys in the back, Hot and Dangerous, that, you know, Foreman and all these young guys, they laid them out. They sent the message. They sent the message to guys like me and guys like Hot and Dangerous that all they are is poison in the well. They are destroying UWA one way or another. We need to see the Paramount end. And if it's not me, I hope it's somebody else.
Right, right. Off of that, you know, with that triple threat, we had the final triple threat of the evening being Eric Corvus, Cypress, and Hedges, man. And all three of those guys have been on, like, a tear lately with just, like, you know, finding themselves and, you know, doing something new with Cypress, you know, saying he's from Chicago and, like, really, like, you know, living that whole Chicago gimmick. And I like that, you know. Eric Corvus going into being himself now. You know.
Well, let me clarify to the fans. I think there might have been some confusion as to what look Corvus Fear is going towards. He's steampunk. That's what he's, quote, told me in the back, that he is going for a steampunk look, just to clarify that to the fans.
I mean, love the gimmick. I love the whole look. He looks,
I think ever since he broke up with Massacre, he's turned over a new leaf. And if he keeps doing the right thing, he will always have my favor, so.
Right, honestly, and it seems to me, you know, maybe you'll, you know, feel different, but it seems like, you know, ever since the whole breakup of Massacre and Arkham at the time, it seems like Massacre is just kind of like floating around over there. You know, he doesn't really know where his place is yet.
Well, I didn't know much about Massacre up until Crossroads. I had yet to enter the UWA ring ever with him before, and I entered it for the first time, Crossroads. And let me tell you something, he may be an ass, but he really brings it in that ring. He is a tough son of a gun. Just ask the fan he kicked in the front row.
right. but, you know, going off that, we also had the tag team titles change hands.
Oh,
as what the fuck are they calling themselves now? Are they calling it, what, the swag something?
Yeah, I, to be honest with you, it's hard for me to even talk about this match because Hot and Dangerous, they're like my best friends. And, you know, we go to the bar, we spend the week together, we go to the gym, we do it all together, you know. And to see them lose to swag, friggin' mean. In a cheap way. It wasn't a fair win. It was not, you know.
Right, they cheated.
Blind refs and administrative people up top in UWA that turn their head the other way when these things happen.
I want to know one thing though. Like, you know, when they have, you know, when they do stuff like that, do they think there's going to be no, like, you know, Like no karma? Do they not believe in karma?
Why would they think there's karma? They have the boss in their pocket.
We can't really get into that. That's a little controversial. I think we got to be careful. I mean, this one does check out the show on occasion. I think we got to be careful. I mean, I don't want 1 week to be cool with them, and then all of a sudden you got six guys attacking you from behind. Yeah, I mean, so be careful what you say about the boss, because sometimes I don't know.
It was quite obvious throughout the whole match that they had it. They had it the whole time, and I'm sure it's only a matter of a rematch and time before they're tag team champions again for third or fourth time.
Right. So, you get off, and then the commentators are just saying, "Oh, there's miscommunication, blah blah blah." I think it was mostly, cheating.
I am the source on that. I haven't going to repeat. I am best friends with Hot and Dangerous. We do everything together. We share locker rooms together, the whole nine yards. And let me tell you, there is no friction between the two of them. They are like yin and yang. They are not going anywhere. And I don't know what all this talk is about miscommunications and all that, because they're on top of their game. And I'm telling you, it was a robbery, highway robbery, that match.
Right. And I just said the word karma before, and a person that just sent me a message. Does a king believe in karma?
Karma, huh? So what are you trying to get at, that I've done certain things in my past that might come back and haunt me?
It wasn't me. It was actually a question from a private message. But, somebody messaged me, does a king believe in karma? So I just wanted to clear that up and make sure that,
How could I be a king and not believe in karma?
Okay. So that answers your question. The king, you got to believe in karma. Okay. Going off that, they had the 8-man tag. What was that match?
Sleeper match. That was a great match.
Elder Foreman. That's all I got to say about that.
Most people see that and they think to themselves, these aren't the headlining guys of UWA. This might not be great, but it is. It is in every way a great match. And I got to put notable reference on Strife. Strife is, as you say, on a tear lately.
He
showed it at Crossroads, pulling out big victory for his team.
Right. Tommy Guns Coburn with the pinfall, who we just had on.
Tommy Guns Coburn's on fire. I'm glad to hear from him. I listened to you guys talking on the radio. I'm glad that he's in good spirits as usual.
And Chris Reyes, man, he's been doing that. I mean, Damage put him over last week. Put him over. He fucking likes him because of the baseball gimmick, because Damage said he played baseball and was a catcher.
As a king, I didn't really play too much baseball growing up. I was too busy leading armies, if you know what I mean. But
of course. Well,
I think that's a great gimmick for the kid. If that's the way he wants to go, he's just got to keep up on it,
Right.
He's explosive in the ring, just like Drake Chay. He's one of the new guys in this Fed that are got to keep your eye on, because they're only going up. Upward mobility. Social mobility, as us kings like to say.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was a great match. Going off to the UWA Elite Championship match with Sean Damage McNellis, the champion, taking on Arcadia. And what a phenomenal match that was. What a match. Check out UWAElite.com for more, to check it out for yourself. But honestly, the match was amazing. Both competitors put it all on the line for that match. And, Sean Damage now is still the champion. Kind of want to talk about that a little bit.
Well, I guess my comments would be I've been in UWA for a very, very long time, and I've seen many, many main events, UWA main events in my time. And this one truly does take the cake. Everybody's walking around saying, Crossroads is the best UWA event ever put on. And some people may think we're just saying that, but it's really true. I've been to more UWA events like that than most people you'll ever meet. And this was truly that match was the definition of a UWA main event in every sense of the word. And it was rough for the entire locker room, I would imagine, and the fans, because both Arcadia and Damage are severely liked. We were both respected among the roster, and I'm sure they're respected among the fans. So it was very hard to choose between the two. Who did you want to win? You know, at the end of the match, the crowd chanted, "Finish him, finish him." Were they saying that to Damage to finish Arcadia? Are they saying that to Arcadia to finish Damage? It's an interesting thing. Me, personally, I'm friends with Damage. I grew up with Damage, so I have to side with him. And when he pulled out the victory at the end, I'm a wrestler, and I'm used to this. You know, I'm tainted, but I jumped towards the ceiling. I was more excited than I've ever been in my life to see Damage pull out the victory over Arcadia. Not because Arcadia is a bad person, because of what it shows, what it proves, what it shows about Damage and the integrity of our champion and what he actually can accomplish, which could be anything, in my opinion, and this proves it.
Right.
The match itself was phenomenal. You know, back and forth action. You know, it's typical main event action kind of stuff. And the ending, you're not going to see it coming. Let's put it that way. You're going to think someone else is winning. I've heard fans, you know, give me reviews and say, you know, they wanted Arcadia to win, but then Damage won. People were like, "Oh, we want Damage to win, and we thought Arcadia was going to win." And that's the kind of stuff that was the kind of matches UWA likes to put on. You know, that's what we strive to do. This match, in a nutshell, in a microcosm, is exactly the kind of entertainment we're trying to put towards our fans. And I stress to our fans, if you can't watch 2 hours of wrestling, which you should, if you can't do it, watch this match and this match only, and get caught on UWA. It'll hook you. I promise it.
Honestly, watching one episode of Action Zone or All Stars will hook you. But you know, if you're saying you watch the whole, you know, 2 hours of Crossroads, I think that's kind of. I think watching one show of like an All Stars or Action Zone will hook anybody. It hook, you know.
Oh, absolutely. That's the question of UWA's future. It's not a matter of can we make more people like us. It's a matter of how can we make people aware that we exist. That's the problem. We have to make more people aware that we exist, because our demographic already exists. It's out there. It's waiting for us. We just need to tap into it.
Right. And if the show helps, you know, does that, then more power to it. You know what I mean? That's kind of what, you know, why we do this segment, you know, every week, is to get more people to check out.
Absolutely. You're going to be hearing my voice a lot on this show. I'll be more than happy to always be on here promoting it. And as the weeks go by, fans will be able to tell that I love UWA. Not to mention that, but I'm a walking, talking UWA encyclopedia, and I have more experience in UWA than a lot of other guys. So,
right. Besides Dave Swan. But
that's true. I would have to agree with you there. The main event, did you enjoy it?
The main event was good. I mean, Kyle Wyatt takes home the trophy. I'm at the point, I'm not going to lie, I kind of burned out from watching the whole show, that I kind of was kind of like, you know, looking at the screen and then looking away. So I didn't really get to catch the whole match, but I know Kyle Wyatt with the victory. What did you think?
Well, after watching the footage, of course, I thought that match went well over very well, and out of the competitors in the match, I think that Kyle Wyatt is the most deserving of it, in that he has worked the hardest. Not that deserving really should matter. Really what matters is who gets the pinfall, but I thought that the match, you know, it was just like the championship match, was exactly what UWA, the kind of matches we're looking to give to the fans. Drake Chambers, again, is phenomenal. Every time he gets, he's a great-looking guy. The girls love him, let's be honest. They want to take take pictures with him. They want his autograph, and that's great for us, you know. And he's just wildly entertaining, and he's got a whole boatload of charisma. And this match really, if you're inside UWA, you see it more, but it's really the crowning achievement for Kyle Wyatt, because, you know, I'll summarize it by saying the Kyle Wyatt story, but if, you know, in a nutshell, if you know a little history about Kyle Wyatt, he was not in the shape that he is currently in for a long time. He was younger, he was a very chubby man. And over a short amount of time, he turned all of the fat he had into muscle, and he looks the way he does now. And he's just coming into his charisma and his intensity and the way he flies off the top. He is really the definition of the total package inside of UWA, in the sense that he has everything someone needs to make it inside of UWA. So it makes perfect sense that he came out of this match with the victory. Not saying that any of the other guys didn't deserve it anymore. Just, well, I'll take that back. I'm pretty glad Paramount's my quest did not win it, because none of the Paramount deserved it. And we had a fear inside the locker room before the show that maybe the all Paramount finals, you know, for the Crossroads finals. So we're really just happy it wasn't all Paramount. But that's the, you know, the match itself, the wrestling was awesome. And it's those guys, those four guys really tore at each other and gave it their all. And I really recommend everybody listening to this show, go and watch it, because it's truly an excellent match. And it's not what you're going to always see. It's guys you can relate to.
Right.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm not here on his radio show trying to promote King Kong Bundy versus the Iron Sheik. You get what I'm saying? You know, these are guys you can relate to. That is the biggest word in UWA.
Well,
relate,
I like King,
relatability.
I like King Kong Bundy, though. What are you trying to say?
How do you relate to King Kong Bundy, Eric Williams? How do you do this?
Well, he's a king, you know. King, you know.
Well, yeah, and that's Crossroads for
that's
you.
A dream match right there. I want to see King Tigers King.
We just we're topping over about 300 views right now, and we're looking to keep that going. I just like to add that Last Breath 2011 is closing in on 2,000 views. That's our most viewed video.
That's
so
great.
We like to keep going and going and going. That's what, you know, not only are we giving you shows every week, Action Zone, Action Zone, and they're not just that they're live and you can only see them between 9 and 11. They're going on YouTube, which means that they'll be viewable indefinitely. So it's not like if you miss it Thursday night, you're screwed. That's not the case whatsoever. You can watch it, you know, Friday morning. You can watch it whenever the hell you want, to be honest. You can watch it in 2022. I don't give a damn, as long as you watch it.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Yeah, 2022.
UAElite.com.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to give my own thoughts about Crossroads in a minute, but King, I have a question from the chat room from Xavier Ford. He said, "Do you believe that you and Foreman will win the Combat Cup?"
Let me put it this way. I think that Foreman has got all the potential in the world. I just think at this point, he needs a little bit of help. And I have some experience in the Combat Cup. I was in the 2004 Combat Cup. My tag team partner was John Bowes. We did not win, but I'm the only wrestler inside the Combat Cup 2012 that has any experience in a previous Combat Cup. So that it makes up for it. Me and Foreman, we're good friends. We're going to take care of it. I think that more or less we're going to have a few people go to heaven, if you know what I mean.
David Ford, thank you for the question. He knows from
question.
He was in the chat room last week asking questions for Damage.
I guess Damage told us last week that I guess he goes to a lot of your shows, so I guess you guys know him.
Well, I'll promise my fans it's real hot out, and as I like to say, we're going to go swimming a lot this summer. Let's put it that way.
Good, good. Are you going to come to the pool? I got a pool at the house. Do you want to come swim?
you don't want me to cannonball your pool because you're...
Oh, you did that shit. Never mind. Can't talk shit about the King. I'd have to pay the royal taxes if I talk shit about King Tech. So,
That's heresy, you know. I'll have your head removed.
Yeah, it's like old days. Well, hey, why don't you just tell, I don't know.
Well, hey, you know, people don't believe me that I'm a king sometimes. I don't know how I'm going to prove this to people. Maybe I got to cut a couple people's heads off to prove it, you know?
Is the king, this is personal here, but the king with the ladies, you know? Is it the king?
Oh, am I king with the ladies? Are you speaking of romantic interests or my thousand-woman harem?
Oh, no, of course.
Because, you know, I pay the thousand-woman harem, so I don't know if that necessarily counts.
Oh, okay. All right, well, I mean, honestly, you can't really afford to get divorced, can you? Or is there such thing as divorce in kingdom?
Yeah, well, I'd like to also plug, you know, the fact that we're doing our 300th event coming up July 20th at Fun Time, and it's not our 300th live event or anything like that. It's actually 300, as far as if you tally up all of the action zones and all stars and supercard events, and then you tally up the old stuff, 2004, and they're adding in 2004 and 2005, and Action Zone, I don't know if you've ever mentioned this before, but once it was referred to as Meltdown in 2004 and 2005.
Okay.
So, it's the 300, if you add up all of that, it is in fact our 300th event, which is pretty crazy. I would say I've been to about 200 of them.
200? Only 200?
Yeah, about that.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to discuss today?
No, that'd be it. Thank you for coming back on the show, and we'll talk to you in a few weeks, you know.
Okay, sounds good. Everybody in the chat room, have a good day.
Good day. All right, see you, man.
Goodbye.
Thank you very much for coming on. All right, that was King Tech from UWA Elite. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, check out uwaelite.com. Eric, that second match was awesome. It was brutal from Crossroads, but it was awesome. The whole show, top to bottom.
Yeah,
Dave Swan, keep it up. That was an awesome show. I look forward to more UWA shows in the future.
There's Action Zone you gotta watch this week. So we'll talk about that next week. You know, we'll talk about Action Zone next week. You know, promote Action Zone next week. And everybody check out UWA. Go over to their merchandise and buy a T-shirt, buy a wristband, buy an 8x10, buy all types of shit. Support UWA any way you can. Hell, even promote it on your Facebook. But, yeah.
Well, something that somebody wants you to promote in the chat room, because, you know, you said you would do it for her. She's in the chat room now. You can sing happy birthday.
Oh. Does she really want me to sing her happy birthday? Are you kidding me? I'll sing it for Lisa, of course. I'll sing anything for Lisa.
Lisa, Eric wants to know, do you really want him to sing happy birthday to
you? All right, here we go. I'll have to sing two songs. Well, here's my number, so call me maybe. No, we're not singing that. Well, do you want my number? You can call me maybe? Okay. Nobody got that joke. Okay. Now you there?
Yeah.
Here's my number. Call me maybe. Here, I just met you.
I don't think Lisa got that, but, you know.
Okay, well, then this is crazy. So here's my number. So call me maybe. Hey, I just met you, and this is crazy. No, I'm just kidding. Happy birthday, Lisa. I'm not singing. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Lisa. Happy birthday to you. Okay.
Yeah, happy birthday, Lisa.
Yeah. Woo!
And many more.
And many more. Now, here's my number. Call me maybe.
King Tech forgot to mention, ladies and gentlemen, that if you're in the area where they produce the shows and stuff, he will be signing autographs tomorrow at Funtime America.
Really? He's going to be signing autographs at Funtime America tomorrow? Word. Everybody go check that out. What's that address?
What time tomorrow? What time, so I can let everybody know? 6:30 p.m. He'll be starting silent autographs at Fun Time America at 6:30 p.m.
That's Eastern time, not Pacific time.
Yeah, they're all my Pacific Standard buddies, we're out of luck. That's only for Eric and all his buddies on that side of the United States.
Is it just going to be King Tech, or anybody else going to be joining him? Let's find that out. Maybe Lisa can get a free autograph. No? Okay. I'm going to die.
He'll be joined by Damage, he said.
By who?
Damage.
Okay.
Him and Damage will both be signing autographs.
Okay. That's cool. But, yes. I'm not a... Lisa hasn't said thank you yet for my singing for her birthday, so I'm not happy with that.
Well, I'm sure she'll get to the thank you and everything.
Okay.
It's just everybody typing in the chat room.
I take money orders. I take checks. Yeah. Yeah, I take money
orders. And you take money orders?
I take money orders for thank yous. That's pretty much how it goes. Check it out. You know, add me on Facebook. Send me a message. Say, hey, give me money.
No, sure
just, go over to UWA, just go over to UWALead.com and purchase a T-shirt. You know,
I'm sure you'll get your head chopped off for that now.
I'll give a royal tech to King Tech.
You will?
Yeah, I will. I'll figure out my paycheck for you that you pay me.
Yeah.
Shit.
Well.
Oh shit! That's not gonna work. Yeah, that doesn't get work. Yeah, man, I just, you know.
Yeah, that was an awesome interview. Awesome stuff, ladies and gentlemen. I tell you.
All right, Matt, I'm going to call back in a little later. I got some stuff to do around the house. So, yeah, I'll hit you up a little later. And, yeah, it was a good UWA segment. I will talk to you in a bit.
All right, we'll talk to you in a bit. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, that was Eric Williams. We were conducting two interviews with two people, two very awesome people from UWA Elite, that's United Wrestling Alliance, I believe. I think I got that right. I was King Tech, I want you to know in the chat room, I was paying attention to the commentators, so I believe I got that correct. If I didn't, he's going to chop my head off. So, yeah, check out UWAElite.com. They always have great shows. Well, I saw the first show, Crossroads, from last Saturday. I know my good friend in the chat room, DDP, also did. It's a promotion like no other. Like no other. So be sure to check it out. And I tell you, it's great. But what's not great is, how long can you confront yourselves if you're doing something for anybody else? Or how long will you wait to open your damn mouth before you say something? You know, I hear parents always saying all the time, speak up if you want to be heard. But not even as adult people don't do that. I'll explain why that happens and a whole lot more after this quick break.
Hey, sports fans, this is the Scorekeeper once again. On behalf of the Big Dog, we want to remind you that every Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, we have our two-hour extravaganza, and then every Monday and Thursday at 8 p.m. Pacific Time, we have our weekend review and our weekend preview. Don't forget to catch us over at blogtalkradio.com/sportstalkwiththeguys, and head on over to www.sportstalkwiththeguys.com.
Fans, don't worry, the Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Just one last time and I'm gone. Can't carry myself, that is. ladies and gentlemen, the hottest place on the internet for wrestling and video games is, of course, WGS Radio. We got it all. News, reviews, interviews with some of the biggest stars in wrestling today, and yes, even...
Oh my God!
The leader of Team Gooch himself, McDirty Fist. That's every Wednesday and Saturday night, 7 p.m. Central Time. And of course, for pay-per-views, 2 hours before every pay-per-view for wrestling. www.longtalkradio.com/WGS Radio. We'll see you there.
And now, we return back to the Sports Opinion Show with your host, Matt Alvarez.
Yes, and we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you've been joining us so far the last hour or so, get ready, we've got one final hour left. Let me quickly go over some wrestling news here. You know, everybody says that... How is WWE still on the air, despite the fact of them going fucking PG rating? But yet, you know, I thought about this week. Their intro still enlists the words of Stone Cold Steve Austin. Hell yeah. Which, in retrospect, is a TV-14 gesture. Yet they claim to be PG. We don't do violence anymore. We're not a wrestling company anymore. TNA's gripe is, we're violent, we're crazy. We're not PG. But, you know, don't knock us too much. At least we're trying. Well, I don't see trying from either one of them. You'll understand what I mean because the subject in review for today is putting it all, this is where it starts, on the line. If you claim to be better than everybody else, with all due respect to the guys from UWA Elite, you heard how passionate they are. That's what everybody else needs to be. I mean, I'm sure last weekend you all saw the big soccer match. I don't remember who it was or who was in it. I don't care. I'm a big soccer fan, but I just didn't care to watch that. I didn't think I would need to. But everybody said that it was all the same with everybody else. Especially with WWE getting ready for their 1,000th episode. And like I said earlier, and they're still on the air. How? You'll understand what I'm saying. I'll break it all down for you. First, we've got to get some quick wrestling news. You guys are all going to love this. Former WWE personality Mike Adamley has taken personal time off from his position as a newscaster for the Chicago NBC affiliate. Yes, and to my friend Matt Broderick in Chicago and all others in the surrounding Chicago area, he lives and works there in your area. I feel sorry for you all. But he has been off the air since May 14th, and no one has heard from him since. He disappeared for months several years ago, and he was getting psychiatric help at the time. Oh, boy, that's rough. Mike Adamley is rumored to have needed psychiatric help. Wow. Chris Sabin is getting surgery today. That's right. He is set for surgery to fix his knee, according to TNA. Sabin was also part of an injury angle last night to build the Bobby Roode versus Austin Aries feud going into Destination X this Sunday. And this all relates to their Bound for Glory, the BFG series, and the biggest pay-per-view of all time. Well, you know how they kept saying that only we know where we're going to have Bound for Glory. We're going to reveal it tonight. Well, you would think that Mike Tenay and Taz, since they're the only commentators there, the audience other commentators from every other wrestling organization, they either know how to follow their notes, or some of the commentators that I've seen and watched on YouTube from different wrestling organizations are actually like Jim Ross. They don't even need the notes because they remember everything in their head. Okay, so where was that announcement that they so claimed to know where Bound for Glory was going to take place and only they knew? It was never announced. That's strike one by TNA. Actually, TNA struck out so many damn times, I even lost count. And finally, this is a very undervailing thing that happened. It's kind of sad, you know, the way things have gone. And I just can't believe it, because it involves Kenny King, who appeared on TNA last night. ROH said that he broke his contract with them, stating that the verbal contract and the handshake contract was all one big thing to try and soften the blow that they were about to receive, because that so-called handshake contract, they told him he wasn't allowed to wrestle for any other organization except being looked at, because his contract, they knew damn well his contract was coming up. But now ROH says, no, that was never the case. So now it's one of those back and forth things of he said, they said, and well, they even gave him chances to talk to his lawyers about this. Now it's gotten to the point gratification where when they found out that he actually appeared for TNA and saw him on there, they became viciously furious. And they said, we're not going to do any more business with him. We're done with him. So for you ROH fans, does this mean this is the last time you saw him on ROH television from last week? I don't know. That's all there is to say about that. And as we all know, this past Monday night on Raw, things were quite deliberating. I mean, sure, WWE gave us, you know, wrestling food for thought, but they didn't, as I've been saying, what the subject of today's show is, they didn't really necessarily put anything on the line. Sure, they were attempting to remind everybody that they're going into the Money in the Bank ladder match, which, by the way, doesn't really... People are upset because the Raw side of the Money in the Bank ladder match doesn't really have any high flyers. Well, you've got Chris Jericho, you've got Daniel Bryan. But between Kane, the Big Show, and CM Punk, they're not necessarily your high flyers. And despite Chris Jericho, who kept saying all night long that he's the one who had invented the Money in the Bank ladder match, I think Edge and a few others who were former Raw contestants to begin with and were involved in that in years past, would dispute that with him. But nonetheless, since none of those guys are there anymore, it's all about inquisitional favoritism. That's right. You heard me say it. Favoritism. They're running with this whole thing of the Big Show has doesn't really have a contract. He has his own contract. That's a good way to keep viewers interested. Putting Paul Heyman via satellite to talk about his inquisition to bring back Brock Lesnar so they could at least build to some sentimental value of putting things on the line. But in retrospect, Vince McMahon is not that shrewd of a promoter like he used to be. He's not cutting edge or deafening like he used to be. Because they said, well, we're doing this and we're doing that and we're getting ready for our 100,000th episode ever. And we want to thank you all, for helping us do that. Well, that would have never been accomplished if you didn't let people do what they wanted to do and the ideas that they had. See, sure, on the outside and in television interviews, Vince McMahon will either tell you, we're fine, we're doing just fine in the damn company. Our company is great. We're marching on. Or he might say something like, we're not affected by the economy. In WWE, the word economy loss does not exist. Well, I'll tell you this. That's his PG side of being shrewd. That's the PG version that Vince McMahon shares now. Even though, despite those things, he doesn't get it. He knows deep down that he is a lying son of a bitch. And you know why? Hell, I mean, in the last 2 years, every time I've done wrestling news, what was it about? The first 8 months of 2009. From January 2009 to August 2009, right before our third anniversary show that year, I talked about everything. It was always the same thing every week, remember? So-and-so left WWE. This person left WWE. More and more people are abandoning WWE. Sure, it's great pay, but storyline concept for me personally, it's not working. Just not working out. Remember years ago, it was only my second year here on Blog Talk Radio, where I had the opportunity, and you can go back on my old channel, the original Sports Opinion Show page, to check out the interview I had with J.J. Dillon. When he told me in that interview that WWE had came to him and said, you just want to be a pretend spokesperson. He said, pretend. He said, I knew that they were either joking or honestly didn't really have any job for me, really. He knew that if he would have went in there, they would have probably invoked him in some rebirth of a WCW type storyline, because that's what he was originally part of and known for. That's why he told me that he turned down the job offer. Go back and listen to that interview. It was charismatic for them to start thinking that way. And then once the FAA came down on Vince McMahon and the FCC said, well, what's going on here? So-and-so might be in charge of USA Network, which was where they were at when I started on Blog Talk Radio. Now they're with USA Network. But we're the FCC, they told Vince, and we control everything. And if you don't shape up with what we're telling you, we are going to take you to court, not the network. Then he backed off and, you know, still he goes on year after year telling the world that I conquered this television network. I'm running the show. If that was true of him running the show, then the network would not be on his ass. The FCC definitely would not be on his ass. FCC for Telecommunications, which is in charge of licensing and merchandising their product for them. See, that's how it all works. And it always comes back to the two or three main billionaires that actually own the network. Vince needs to remember that they are the ones paying for this. Sure, he's rich in his own right. He's made billions and billions of dollars. I mean, hell. Especially taking over WCW and ECW at the time. But just because you decide to tell the world, we're not a wrestling company anymore. Oh, we're PG now. We don't do that violent stuff anymore. We're getting ready for this. We're getting ready for our big Money in the Bank pay-per-view in 2 weeks. In 3 weeks, we're getting ready for our 100,000th episode of Raw. Let me just tell you, this past week's Raw, it was great. I know DDP in the chat room will agree with me. It was great. They amplified what they had and what they did not have. The only thing I didn't appreciate about it, Santana Marella said that it would mean nothing, well, actually it was Heath Slater who said that it would mean nothing more than to take the clown faces and the fake mask that everybody wears. Well, he couldn't be more right. If you're trying to bring up the ratings and you want the world to know that you still exist, well, for the few seconds of fame that Heath Slater and Doink the Clown got, if you watch Raw again, just for that one segment, you'll realize nobody was really cheering, nobody was really booing. People were just quiet because they didn't believe that, you know, I mean, still, I'm still shocked about stuff like this. So are friends of mine, so are other people, you know, Eric Williams is. I've got all of you in other great states. But to rectify it with Doink the Clown. And Michael Cole at least made one thing right. He got one thing right. He said, well, another legend here. Well, we can't really call him a legend. Doink the Clown is not considered a legend at all. Which is true. It's about time they tell the truth. That's why people enjoyed watching Extreme Championship Wrestling. Not because of their great wrestling, but what they did have. Not because of their hard, anti-hardcore, violent matches. But they did watch them for that. No, they mostly watched them for their integrity and for their honesty. What, is Vince McMahon playing Paul Heyman number two? Kind of like Matt Hardy when Matt Hardy was version one and now then off right before he left WWE in 2006. He said, I'm Matt Hardy version 2.0 now. So that's what myself and a lot of others think about Vince McMahon. Is he trying to be the second version of Paul Heyman? Clearly, the answer is Yes. Because of stating this mind to say that, well, Doink the Clown is not really a legend. Or when the spoilers came out and the news feeds came out that Chris Jericho was suspended indefinitely at a house show back in April, when I forgot what country they were in, but he burned their flag at a house show. And people were upset, people were irate, and they said, how can he do this? What kind of company is WWE running to allow this to happen? They immediately went on the offense. They made a huge press conference, a whole big deal about it. It was all over that country's magazine, because they had their own magazine in that country. And then they announced, well, we're going to do a press conference. We want you all to know that how sorry we are. Well, you would think that going into a press conference to make an apology, to give fans some kind of refund or something like that, or to let them know that in the future this would not happen, that the lead boss, the chairman of the board, Vince McMahon, would be there. No, he was not at that press conference. No. And, you know, secretly, nobody's known about this. I've known about it just to haven't had a chance to mention it to you all. But I'm sure you saw her talk about the most memorable moment that she had in Raw history regarding her dad and her brother. Stephanie McMahon has been back the past few months. And it was her and Triple H that presided over the conference. That huge press conference to, you know, 3 days after Chris Jericho did what he did, they were the ones that initiated it. And they tried their best to say that, you know, it doesn't matter if me and Triple H are husband and wife, we're just here to let you know that in the future, nothing like this will ever happen again. We promise you, we guarantee you, blah, 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 we apologize. And blah, more blah, blah, blah. But people in that country were even more turned off. Not because Triple H and Stephanie couldn't really deliver their apologetic speech. That didn't matter to them. What matters to people is when the actual boss, the one in charge, the one who created the company, should come forward. And when asked about that, Vince McMahon said 2 weeks ago that, well, I had other more important demeanors at WWE headquarters in Stamford, Connecticut. Now, you lazy son of a bitch. If I was a CEO of the company, I'm Vince McMahon, thank God I'm not, as you all heard me say, but if I was, you know what I would have done? The so-called meetings that he had in Stamford, Connecticut? I would have said, you know what, guys? We don't need to worry about this. We should all fly to this country. Present our case in point at a press conference that they are demanding us to present to them. And if Stephanie McMahon or Triple H wanted to be involved in this apologetic speech to this country because of what Chris Jericho burning their flag did, I would have said we can always come back and set up this meeting in 3 or 4 days. But no, he stays in Stamford, Connecticut, has Triple H and Stephanie and others, you know, and of course he sent two of his best attorneys just in case this country said, well, we want to give you a lawsuit. The other and last thing I need to say about what WWE did this week, their Tuesday night SmackDown show, the Super SmackDown. And you're probably saying, well, no, you're tripping. They didn't call it Super SmackDown. Of course they didn't. They just called it SmackDown. That's because I didn't appreciate the fact that they tried to promote this as a pay-per-view on television. They called it the Super SmackDown / Bash at the Beach show on Tuesday night, a special telecast. Well, what was special about it? Like I said earlier, right before we had the interview with both the UWA personnel people, was it because of the fact of how ridiculous Teddy Long looked in barbecue outfit and everything? Was it impressive to see Kane setting off the barbecue? Since you could obviously tell Santino Marella was too scared to light a match. Apparently he's never lit a barbecue before. No, that wasn't it, because obviously we all know that those were special effects. Was it because of AJ's installment between her, Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, and Kane? ?50% of you would say yes, 50% of you would say no. And then with the Battle Royal, now we know who will be the special guest general manager. Not tonight, but next week on SmackDown. You're probably thinking and asking me, are you sure it's tonight? Are you sure it's not tonight and not and for next week? Well, don't quote me on that. After all, we are talking about WWE. You heard me mention 3 weeks ago that they fucked up their own commercials on when they were officially going to 3 hours. Well, 3 weeks ago, for those of you that saw, some of you had emailed me and told me, I just found out tonight it's 3 hours on Raw, and so it's next week. No, the actual Stardom date, when they will go 3 hours every Monday night, will start July 23rd. They showed that commercial 4 times this past Monday on Raw, just to let everybody know that we didn't mess up our own commercial. It's about time. No, their incantation to do so many different things at once. Showed you that everything they did between Monday and Tuesday night didn't really pose any threat to putting something important on the line. Now, let's switch gears over to TNA. TNA last night started out with Bully Ray saying that he would destroy Abyss. Because if Abyss gets involved and becomes part of the Bound for Glory series, he will take him out no matter what his brother, the so-called attorney Joseph Park, says. Joseph came out and said, well, technically that's not true. I did beat you 1 time. To what they were referring to last month's pay-per-view. But from start to finish, sure, there was a lot of high-flying, acrobatic, phenomenal stuff. They did Inquisition another piece of drama, saying that Dixie Carter's best friend, the reason why she looks pregnant is because AJ Styles is the one that got her so-called pregnant. But AJ, man, I appreciate the way he took care of business last night. Oh, boy. But as I said in the free-for-all before our commercial break, all night long they kept saying, Mike Tenay and Taz, we're going to reveal the location of our Bound for Glory series pay-per-view. We now know the location of where we will be. Sure, they mentioned that, but they never even got a chance to actually reveal where the location was at. Because by that time, it was already, well, over here, we get it, I get TNA live from 8 to 10. And I know most of you live in other states. You either get it, you get it 2 or 3 hours before I get it. But still, they themselves didn't put anything on the line. You know, and since I would have thought that they would have actually proceeded to put something on the line, since this Sunday is their year quarterly pay-per-view, this is their middle of the year pay-per-view. It's supposed to be potentially the biggest pay-per-view ever, right before the Bound for Glory pay-per-view, because Bound for Glory is like their WrestleMania. Sure, I was excited. Sure, I was into the show, but I didn't feel like I was a part of the show. Which, if you're involved in wrestling and trying to be a promoter, that is your job. Just ask the guys that we had from UWA Elite. They know how to get it done. ROH knows how to get it done. You know who really, really puts it all on the line? It's not WWE. It's not TNA. It's not anybody else that has, you know, premier TV or anything like that. It's the most promotion that can only get themselves on YouTube, which is the closest thing to television we get, right? I mean, you can watch movies on YouTube. You can see anything on YouTube now. But point in case, there are some promotions that have no way of getting themselves not even noticed by YouTube, and yet they're out there putting their wrestlers, are agreeing to put themselves on the line, for what really matters in their promotions. Since WWE is so profound about this 1,000th episode, and Michael Cole said 4 times or 5 times in a row, actually, thank you very much for making us the most weekly episodic television show in history. Well, you have to go back to where you were at. Vince McMahon keeps getting pissed off because there aren't enough television ratings. Vince McMahon keeps getting pissed off, and he won't tell you this or share this with you, because my wrestlers, damn it, I'm Vince McMahon, and they keep leaving me behind. You know, it's kind of heartbreaking, but at the same time, it's not heartbreaking. But I can tell you right now, one of the most stupidest, most random things ever or as some of us young people like to do, we like to become smart asses with other people, with the older people, in some form or way, and here's my way of doing that. You know, at the 2 hours and 27 minute mark of Raw, the commercial that I saw at that time, right before, 30 minutes before they went off the air, I said it's 2 hours and 27 minutes into the show and they've got 30 minutes left. The commercial I said was, after this commercial air, I was like, awkward, because the commercial that featured itself, predominantly presented by WWE, burnt the cover of the 1985 classic Survivor Series Battle Royal was the cover of No Holds Barred that featured Hulk Hogan versus Mr. T. But then they go off and they showed a different, like, an actual type movie that featured Hulk Hogan. Yes, that movie was also called No Holds Barred. But the reason why I said it was awkward was because of the interrogational reasoning behind it. How do you promote and show a video? Jerry Lawler said, oh, it's my favorite movie of all time. Of all time. Was it a movie or was it just a tease to piss people off with? Because it did piss some people off. Yours truly was. I was most certainly pissed off and certainly upset. Because how do you promote something like that with an old Survivor Series poster cover that was on VHS tapes at the time that had Hulk Hogan and Mr. T on the cover staring at each other like they were ready to beat each other up and tear each other's heads off. And then you go into some random movie with Hulk Hogan and a bunch of other people that nobody even knows about. That's crap. That's crap. And I know Eric is back on the line. We'll get to him in just a second. Just a second, Eric. TNA Synonymous was, well, we have the Bound for Glory series going for us, and that's all we're going to share. And they go off the air, and they don't even give you what they had been promoting all night long. We will give you the location of where Bound for Glory series will be. Well, how does that make sense? If I'm sure by now people have already, if you're going to the live event, if you're going to the Bound for Glory pay-per-view, you already know where it's going to be, because I'm sure by now you've gotten your tickets in the mail. And they're putting themselves on the line. How? See what I'm saying? Total stupidity. But all in all, WWE and TNA had good shows this week. I don't know if Eric feels the same way. Right, Eric?
Hold on. What's up, Matt?
Not much.
Just driving home right now. I had to go make a quick little drive out to about 20 minutes away, but driving home right now. Too hot out, man. I was going to do some work at somebody's house, help them out and stuff. That. Absolutely not.
Why not?
Out there, yeah, it's so hot. It's 105 degrees. It's 98 with a temperature with a heat index of 105, so pretty damn hot out.
105.
What's going on with the chat room? Any wrap up for the day?
No.
Who's in the chat room?
DDP and guest 3497.
Okay. No Andrew Mack?
Nope.
Yeah. Oh, man.
No.
So, yeah, I mean, we had a great show so far today.
Yes, we did.
Everybody promote the shit out of this show, man. This show was great. Nick has been fucking awesome. Lisa's still in the chat room. What did she say about me saying happy birthday to her?
She didn't say anything. Like you said, we never got a thank you.
Oh, bullshit. Kind of bullshit. She'll call me later. It'll be fine.
You sure about that?
What?
That she'll call you?
Of course she will. You gotta sing the song Call Me Maybe, you know? She's cutie, you know? I'll say that. Whoa, I said that. Yeah.
Yeah, live on the air, too.
Yeah, oh well. Fuck it. We'll do it live! Fuck it! Do it live. Give me 1 second. Give me 1 second.
I tell you. I'll be sure to let her know to hear about this show. Or I could just tell her what you said. But yeah, ladies and gentlemen, as we get set, we've got 10 more minutes left in this show. Just 10 more minutes. Well, almost 10 more minutes.
Hey, Matt, I'm not happy right now. I mean, I'll tell you right now that this guy, man, like, he's like the top guy in radio. Let's bring him back on the show, the real host of the Sports Opinion Show, Mr. AJ. What's going on, AJ?
You know, you make me mad every time you say something. You know that?
Matt?
All the time.
Who?
You.
You're the real host of the show, though. AJ, we talked about this last week on the show. It's not me or you that hate each other. Matt's the one who turned us against each other.
That's corny, right?
Matt. AJ. Matt's the reason why we hate each other. Come on.
Yes, we do. We mutually hate each other.
Matt's just a bum. Yeah, Matt's just there.
Yeah, Matt's a bum. He's not even saying nothing. That's the
Yeah.
It's like this every week.
I'm going to call you out next week.
Who?
I'm not going to call you out. I'm going to call you out right now. Matt, well, every time I get on the line, you have nothing to say.
I'm just letting you guys go at it. That's why.
No, me and you are going at it.
For what?
Your Raiders suck.
No, we don't suck. We're just learning. We're learning
new
things.
No, your team's ass, Matt. I'm sorry. 8-8 doesn't cut it for me.
Well, we'll do better. We got a few weeks left.
If San Francisco
Giants
can be in first place and still be ass.
The Giants? No.
Yes,
no.
The Giants. And still are ass. Besides Tim Lincecum. And Matt,
you know, it was Lisa's birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday, Lisa.
She wanted you to sing or call me maybe, but I already did that for you earlier in the show. AJ,
yeah.
What do you hate more than not having money?
What do I hate more than not having money? Matt.
Okay.
Oh, really?
I'm just playing.
Like that, huh?
Okay, all right. Let's bring the cat out of the bag. Me and AJ don't hate each other. We're playing a joke. Ha ha. We're trying
right.
to be funny.
Right. We were trying to be funny, and it severely backfired.
Right. Because it's Matt. Matt fucking wants to be quiet.
Right.
Matt doesn't want to play into it. Matt doesn't want to be like, well, he said this. Matt's just staying there cool. Me and AJ are cool. Me and Matt are cool. We basically were just trying to get some type of interaction.
I do
want to
have everybody in the chat room.
Yeah, Nick's in the chat room, man. He always in the chat room. I think next week, you know what we need to do next week, Matt?
What do we need to do next week?
We need to do a Nick French appreciation show next week. I'm down for it. Are you down for it?
Me? Sure, I'm down with whatever.
I'm down for a Nick. Let's go do a DDP. Nick DDP appreciation show next week. I'm down for it. I'm dead serious.
Really?
I'm dead serious. Matt, are you...
Yeah, what are you going to do, Matt? Just laugh.
Right. On the guy who's promoted... The guy who's promoted your show more than anybody has ever done, and you're just going to laugh
exactly.
about it?
Exactly. Exactly.
What? What exactly?
I think we're
going to
do that next week.
Are you... Okay. I think we should do that next week. I think Nick should be an honorary... I'm going to tell you this right now. Nick, if you're listening, I want you to do me one thing for me. I want you to Facebook message me. And I want you to send me your shirt size. I want you to... Hold on. Listen. I want you to send me your shirt size. And I want you to send me your address. And expect a UWA Elite t-shirt. In a few days, because you're going to get a UWA Elite T-shirt for helping us out, for helping Matt out. You're going to get that. You're also going to be getting a UWA Elite wristband as well. So, AJ, and you know what? Let's throw out the whole shebang, Nick. We'll even throw a 5, an 8x10 from a UWA wrestler out there net for you, since we appreciate you so much. That's on behalf of me, AJ, Matt. Yeah.
Yes, there's been countless times been in my chat room.
Right, and I think, Nick, I think, you know, we'll give you a, you know, thank you so much for all you do. You know, I know you're a very shy person. You know, you don't like to chat. You know, I understand the whole situation. But we appreciate you posting chat links, posting links everywhere. Thank you.
Exactly.
And next week.
GDP is the man. That's why.
Right.
Can I please release his birthday?
Yeah. Honestly, I'm on my way to Lisa's house right now. So it's,
oh my god.
Yeah, right. You know how many days that would take you?
No, she's cute. What am I gonna lie? I'm not gonna lie. Shit, I said that. Fuck. Yeah, I said that. You know what? I don't care. It's all about confidence, brother. Confidence.
Exactly.
I thought you said Lisa Marie was the cutest. I'm gonna have to tell her what you said now.
Lisa, your former co-host is cute. Yeah, of course I'm not gonna lie.
No, I said Lisa Marie Presley.
He's talking about Victoria.
What?
Yeah, she's gonna be very upset when she hears
AJ,
this.
AJ, shut the hell up. Shut the fuck up. You know what? You know what's funny? I'll tell you this right now. Matt was in the car the other day. I called Matt, and his sister was there, and like Matt's sister was like trying to talk to me.
Oh, Matt, your sister trying
to get
on
the air.
Are you
going to reveal that shit on the air?
Oh.
What's the matter with you?
like I always say, the controversy creates cash. Eric Bischoff said that as well.
Hey, Matt, his book didn't sell.
Right, and then he
was.
Yeah, WCW. You know what's crazy? I'm driving in downtown Bethlehem in my city, in Bethlehem. Yeah. And let me say that we got some fine bitches in this place. Damn, shorty. Anyway, look at me being the ladies' man. But I get like all types of girls, man. Lisa, you know, Matt's sister, you know, all types of. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right.
Next week. But next week, yo, Nick. Nicholas, DDP.
Nick is the real ladies' man.
Yeah, what's he saying in the chat room? Does he even comment on what we were saying at all about this appreciation thing?
No, he has not commented on it
what
at all.
What the hell is going on back there? A goddamn rooster back there or something.
That's coming from AJ.
Excuse me?
I don't know. I thought it was coming from Eric.
You know what, Matt?
I'm driving now. All I heard was the fucking goddamn rooster and the goddamn fucking chicken laid an egg, damn it.
Well, are you driving with the windows rolled down?
Ever since I came on this show today, you've been showing your ass. You don't know how to act. Okay.
Excuse me, I know how to act.
I am sick of your shit. I quit.
What? You can't quit.
I quit.
No, you got rehired. You have you cannot quit. If you
quit,
we'll sue you for everything you got. You can't
try me.
You're fucking ridiculous.
I quit. I want that to be known. Today will be my very last day. Matt always shows up when I get on the phone.
What? Oh, Matt really shows up. Yeah, he's all quiet. He's all talking normal. As soon as you get on the air, it's fucking...
Man, how am I showing off?
Well, you know, first of all, you got these wild ideas. You're talking shit in the background, like nobody can hear. I can hear even though there's noise, you know? Matt.
What the? Wait, what are you talking about?
Don't even worry about it, Matt. Don't. Because I quit. And I want my last pay.
Matt, AJ, he gave me your last pay.
He did not give me my last pay. I'm appearing.
He gave me your
last
pay.
Check.
You're not getting paid.
I'm getting paid. I'm taking both of you to court.
Yeah, what are you thinking to get for me? Fucking a dollar, if so?
You know what?
I don't want anything.
I'm going to sue you, too.
Yeah, you're going to sue the fucking...
You're trying to defaminate my character? I don't fucking care about what you people have to say. I'm going to get you both. That's the end of that.
Eric, Eric, he's gonna take us to People's Court.
Yeah.
You want to make fun of it? You making fun of it, right? Okay. And you better tell your friend that I mean business, and when we get finished,
he's
going
to Judge Judy. He's going to go to Judge Judy. That's what he's going to go to, Judge Judy.
They said I'm going to Judge Judy. And you already know what Nick is capable of.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
That's all right. That's fine. That is fine.
Nick bought the show, man. Nick's the owner now, so you have to deal with Nick.
No. Y'all both are going to have to deal with Nick after I tell Nick what the hell is going on.
Nick knows what's going on. He's listening. Why?
My co-host. You know who my co-host is. Guts.
Oh, yeah, that show. Yeah, that show. When's that show coming back?
No. Now, yeah, I mean, when I get finished with y'all two, I'm going to own the rest of both y'all shows.
Yeah, right. And then you wake up,
yeah,
right?
Well, speaking controversially, I don't have money to go to Judge Judy or some other state like that.
Trying to play Judge Judy now?
No, I'm just saying, I have no way to get to any other state, so.
Oh,
you
don't
have
to worry. I'll file it in California.
Well, what about Eric?
I'll handle him here in Philadelphia.
Okay, alright, I see how you're going to do it now.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I get around.
But I don't think they'll let you file here.
Like
you're from another state.
Oh, nobody caught that.
I did.
Really, you called that?
That was pretty funny.
I'm sorry, man. That was overboard.
Yeah.
That was fucked up.
Yeah,
how's James doing?
Huh?
And so how's James doing?
I don't know. Why don't you tell me? Dan, I called you mad. My bad, Mr. Williams.
Yeah, that's right, Mr. Williams.
Fuck you, Eric. Let's just beer you drink and pool. You ready? All right. Thank you. And you can join Matt Air's little bonfires out by the sea. You know what's crazy, though? You know what's crazy, though? We're totally ribbing Matt right now. He's probably sweating his ass out right now. He's probably so worried right now. Why?
Because he probably is like, oh, they're going to sue me. Like, he thinks this is real.
Yeah, right. I don't put that shit anymore.
No, AJ, now he's getting mad. He's getting mad.
What? You know what, Matt? That's what I love about you. You're mellow.
I want to meet Matt. I can't wait to meet Matt. We need to have, like, a three, like, we need to all meet one day and just all, like, go out somewhere.
Well, I thought about,
You ain't doing shit. I offered you a fucking ticket to a CZW show one time, and I would pay your ticket, and you didn't show up.
Ooh. Okay. Wow.
I had prior engagements, and I've been working.
Yeah, working with Lisa.
You know Lisa's your girlfriend, right?
Wow. She's totally going to be pissed at you when you say that. She's going to hate
you. Man,
she's going to hate you like she used to hate you when she thought you used to do some certain stuff with a certain cold co-host.
Who, me?
Yeah.
No.
When she called in, like I said, today was going to be about controversy. And let me bring up the controversy, but hey, she used to do that old show called, what was that show called? I don't remember. It wasn't that good anyway. Low Blow Radio. Didn't you used to do that Low Blow Radio thing?
I was never on Low Blow Radio.
What'd you do? You did some other radio show.
I was never on any of the...
With Ty Frizzell? Todd Frizzell, former member of the Sports Opinion show?
Oh, you're talking about the Golden Vermont.
No, that wasn't that show. That show far exceeded any shows that Todd Frizzell or AJ Spall has ever done in their careers.
Sure, Bob. Have you been on ESPN Radio?
Yeah, I have. I've been on ESPN Radio, Playboy Radio, fucking Sirius Radio, your mom and pop radio. I've done it all the time. I do it right now. I'm doing it in my sleep.
Well, maybe you should try that then. If you show it, anybody else's show.
Honestly, I'm the best fucking person in the business. Fuck everybody else. Fuck everybody in their mouth.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much, brother. Honestly, I can fucking carry a whole show by myself. And I'm not fucking
that's
just
so
talking
true.
Shit. I'm the best ever. You're damn right I'm the best ever.
So why don't you have a job like Don Imus?
Because Don Imus got fired. He's a fucking jerk.
And
I'm banned, Don Imus.
Because he thought he was the best
that
got his ass booted out.
I'm the best ever.
You're like Jillian Hall, a played out act.
You know you want me.
You like that little comment I just gave you.
You're fucking horrible. We're probably in archive mode. Probably people, Matt didn't even fucking, Matt's the host, and he didn't even like exit the show right. You know,
the show just ended quietly.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, the fucking keep going. So, and Matt didn't go, okay, we'll see y'all next week. He's just like, yeah, I'll let these fucking guys go, keep going.
Well, I let them know about that shit in the chat room, so that's how they.
What are people in the chat room saying?
Nobody in the chat room, just DDP.
Bang!
You know what's crazy?
You know what's crazy? And I'm going to say this right now. AJ.
What's up?
When you used to be on the show, people would get in the chat room, right?
Right.
And the chat room would be a buzz every week, right?
Yeah.
Now there's 4 or 5 people in the chat room.
It used to be like 6, 7, 8 people in here. When I first, started coming around, it was like 8 people in here. I don't even see those same people anymore.
They all ran away.
They didn't run away. They all just, you know what I mean? Just left.
Yeah, remember that one time where JT Evans and Matt had, like, a serious beef, and we brought them both on the same show?
Oh, yeah.
Remember, I was like, yo, Matt, come on the show. He said, I'm never going to be friends with that JT Evans guy. We brought them on the same show, and they both were like, oh, hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Right. Right. So, Matt, when was the last time you talked to Ty Brazell?
God, I don't remember. Shit.
I heard that you made a contract to bring him back to your show.
Hello?
Is that true?
Nope.
Is that true, Matt?
He wants to bring back Todd to be his go-go dancer.
No. That's not true either. What are you lying for?
So, Matt, can I ask you a question? The day I tell you I retire, who are you going to replace me with?
You will never be able to be replaced.
Thank you.
Matt, who? When I decide to retire, who are you going to replace me with?
You definitely won't be replaced.
Oh. Matt,
Even if both of you die, you're both going to have to find some, since you'll both be dead, you'll both be ghosts, you have to find some magical way, some powers to call into the show.
You know what's crazy? That's a nice way of saying, please don't ever leave our show.
Exactly.
Right, AJ?
I wasn't going to say that, but I was going to just sit there and embrace the moment, but okay.
AJ, I got a 30-pack of Yingling at the house. You want to come by and drink a beer with me?
A Yingling? Yinglinger?
Yingling Lager. Yep. I'm drinking one right now. It's actually really refreshing.
Don't get in the pool. Last time, this guy was on the radio drinking a beer and in the pool and went to sleep.
No, I didn't fall asleep in the pool. I fell asleep in my bedroom.
Right. You fell asleep.
We had fucking no. We were doing a fucking talk show, and you had me on mute for like a half an hour, and I fell asleep.
Well, what did you expect? You weren't saying anything.
I fell asleep 3 times. You know what's crazy? I haven't
I'm surprised.
One of the times I called in a match, so I fell asleep. But
wake
I woke
up.
Great
job, huh?
I've done it before on this show. Yeah. So does everybody want to know the big announcement?
What's the big announcement?
Matt, you want to tell the big announcement?
What's this big announcement? I didn't know anything about a big announcement.
About a possible return to the old website.
What happened?
A possible return to the old website.
Oh. Who's coming back to the website?
Oh, Matt.
Matt?
Yep.
We're talking about whose website? Yours?
His old Sports Opinions website. On Blog Talk.
Oh. I forgot you had that old.
You forgot?
I don't even talk about that.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about that. Why did you bring that up, man? I mean, damn, Eric.
Well, it's better than Mayhem Sports, to be honest with you. I don't even know if that website's down up anymore.
I don't know why you brought the website up. Do you know?
Yeah.
Are you talking about the first one or the second one? Because you made two of them.
No, the Sports Opinions Blog Talk page.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's where we first met, AJ, where we first started having those
November.
Problems.
Matt's only been on here since November.
November of what?
2011.
That's not true. I've been on here.
Yes,
I've been on Block Talk.
November.
And...
So what happened in between
time? You have only been on the NDB Media 2 network since November.
Mm. Well, yeah, that's true. But I mean, I'm talking.
We're
going
to be going back to
I'm accumulating.
One.
I'm adding up all the years I've been on Block Talk altogether.
Well, I think it's time to go back to the old website, the old network.
Are you going back to the old network? Or are you going to stay here? Go move back to Seattle or you're staying in OK City?
Seattle? I'm practically in Seattle. Well, not really. I'm in California, but still.
Matt does not want to leave NDB Media. I don't know why. I keep telling him, let's go back.
Just for the people that run the network, I'll be more than welcome to a contract agreement upon my request. You know, it has to be a mutual contract that both sides see eye to eye on. I just would like to throw it out there, you know. Me and a team of five of my choosing to come in and make this network superior, just to let you know.
We need to have a network. We need to get back to a network.
And it won't be a sports show.
It'll be AJ talking about AJ, and that's it.
Really, Matt, you just had to pipe it up. You had to gas the situation. It wasn't all that. It wasn't going to be me talking about me, because I could do that right now. But I'm not. I'm not going
Neither
to.
Neither will.
There's no females in here.
Oh, yeah. Only Matt.
Oh.
I ain't no female. Shut up.
I'm just kidding. You know, 1 week he's going to flip. You heard it, AJ?
Yeah, I know he's going to flip because it's going to be the week that Todd Frazell returns to the show.
Oh, he loves Todd. He always talks about how Todd was his protege. And
what?
Todd was
I never
this.
Said such
yeah,
thing. Shut
that.
Up.
Because Todd was supposed to be the Joey Styles of the Sports Opinion Show.
Yeah, I remember that.
I remember. After my abrupt departure, no, my firing.
You know what's funny? He brought in a bunch of jobbers. Ever since when you left, he brought in a bunch of jobbers to come back. Like,
what jobbers? There were no jobbers. No, only me.
No, you had other people running. You had other co-hosts. Who'd you have?
Nobody.
No, you had other co-hosts. Don't kid yourself.
You had seven co-hosts, Max.
There were other co-hosts.
Nope. I'm gonna go back and check out to see. You had Lisa.
No,
you had somebody else.
I think it was Brendan.
Brendan, right? Yeah. Brendan Murphy or whatever.
Actually, it was two other people before me, and then I came along and will help you for a long stretch of time.
Yeah.
Actually,
see?
Yes. a few weeks, and then I you wouldn't hear from me again until like September. And then after that, that's when you abruptly fired me. And that's when I decided I wanted to take down your show, and that's when we started feuding. And that's
yep.
when I, you know, stole your entire casting, your teammates, and just made this show called Mayhem Sports that outran. We were the best rookie programming that year in 08. We were.
Well, that was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. And
then
after
yes,
that,
it
you know,
was.
It happened. Well, man, that was the last time your show was relevant, then, wasn't it?
Honestly, right now, the Sports Opinion Show is on fire.
Yes, it is, because last week we got featured. Got featured
no
right
comment.
On Blog Talk Radio's homepage.
No comment.
See, I come back to the program, and I become Matt's, like, saving grace, and we get featured. Never, ever did when you were... When, doing the show with any other co-host in 6 years or whatever you did, 5 years, 4 years, he never got featured.
He could have featured his own show if he wanted to. Nobody stopped him.
Matt has another job, though. You open one thing. Matt has another
no,
job.
I got featured one time on my old Blog Talk Radio page.
Was I on the show, probably.
When I had Chris Yandick on the show.
Oh, okay.
Because everybody knew that
on.
He was...
You should bring him back on the air. I like to have him on, like, do an interview with him.
Yeah.
I might set that up. But, yo, let's give a big shout-out to somebody out there in heaven, Michael Porter, you know? Big shout-out to Michael Porter.
Right. Michael was the man.
I tell this to all the people, man. I go back all the time and listen to that tribute show that we did for him.
Uh-huh.
I still tear up. I still tear up to this day.
As you should, because he abruptly lost his life.
Right, but you know what's crazy? Uh-huh. Like, thinking about this, what other radio show had Psycho Sid for a tribute Michael Porter show?
Uh-huh.
What other person... Other than us ourselves, had a pro wrestler who's in the WWE, on a Michael Porter tribute show.
Nobody.
Not Wacko Bob.
Nobody.
Not Paula Joe. Not Holly. No, it was us. It was the Band of Idiots, as I call it. The Band of Idiots. Not a bad thing. But you know what I'm saying right now? Next week, Nick French, we're going to do appreciation to Nick French.
Yeah, and you know, he deserves it because he's always around.
We're in crazy archive mode right now.
Yeah, we are.
How long was the show? 2 hours?
Yeah.
Okay, so then you have an hour in archive.
Yeah.
We have a long time. We can go 3 hours if we want.
Okay, well, I have a topic of choice. Ready?
What?
I have a topic of choice.
Okay, what?
All right, Matt, why don't you go back to your old show styles and just be different and change it up? You're capable of doing it. You're a creative guy. You've been afloat this long.
We've been doing well for the last 4 weeks. The way that we've been doing the shows now is good.
The last 12 weeks? Okay.
The last 4 weeks have been great.
4 weeks have been great.
With the UWA Elite, we've been having more listeners than any show that Matt ever done.
Damn,
we're doing crazy amount of downloads.
It wouldn't be anything.
What?
In lamest terms, he's trying to say without him, it would be anything.
Shut up, AJ. Matt appreciates my help.
Matt does.
Yeah.
And that's something that I can always say. He does.
Right.
So, Matt, we're going to give you a tribute show, too.
Not a tribute show. He's not dead yet. He's still alive.
You don't have to be dead for a tribute show.
That's
yeah,
true.
Pretty much.
You got a point.
Why don't we do a Matt Alvarez appreciation show in 2 weeks?
Oh, you want to do it? Do one in 2 weeks?
Yeah, because we have Nick is next week.
And then the week after that is Matt Alvarez.
And we're going to do a roast. Let's do a comedy roast.
No, I got one better. This show's anniversary is coming up.
Yeah. August 18th. I gotta set all that shit up too.
Yep. Did I just hear the toilet? That was great. That was epic.
I might have been away, but I ain't forget.
That was epic. You flushed the toilet while on there. That was great.
What are you talking about? I wasn't in the bear.
Are you sure?
Sure.
That was great. That was epic. That was so funny.
Well, Eric and I both heard the sound of a toilet. Unless that was you, Eric, and you're just making it up,
No, I'm actually outside. I'm outside right now, just chilling out on the porch swing.
I'm sitting in front of my computer, and you're up here saying AJ flushed the toilet.
Oh my God! How about in 3 weeks we do an AJ tribute show?
I'll pass.
No, I think we're gonna do it.
Come on, don't be like that, AJ.
I won't pass. I don't need a tribute. You want to know why? I am a tribute.
To who?
Tribute to my damn self. That's who.
Oh, man.
I admire myself, ass. I need no show to show how much I mean to everyone. Because without me, you all be lost.
You would be a good wrestling character. Like, your character would be a good wrestling character.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. Just the way your swag and your personality and everything.
Everybody has swag.
Not your swag. I can't. The only girls say swag. I can't really say swag.
I was going to say something that was very derogatory, and I got on mad about, so I had to catch myself before I said it.
What are you going to say?
Yeah, I'm not going to say it.
No, you better say it.
I'm not going to say it.
AJ, you hear that, AJ? He said you better say it.
I don't have to do anything.
Matt, shut up. Matt, shut up, all right? This is my show. You want to talk to you? You're done. Go drink your root beer, your fucking diet, fucking soda.
I don't drink diet.
California attitude.
Yeah, go drink that California attitude, asshole. Alright.
If we had something called California attitude, I would definitely be drinking it.
Yeah, fucking it'd be shit and piss in the same
drink. I never knew that. I thought you were just a straight up Christian that didn't drink, and on that, you know, you had like a nun like symptom going on.
Yo, he claims he's straight edge.
I am.
Straight edge, you don't drink, you don't smoke.
Yeah. I don't drink, I don't smoke, and I don't do drugs.
Alright, there's nothing wrong with that.
AJ, are you straight edge?
Thank you, AJ.
Fuck, I'm not straight edge. I'm a human being. That means I'm spending every most possible way.
Right.
I'm just joking. No, I haven't. I haven't killed anybody yet.
You drink, though.
Yes, I do. I drink heavily.
AJ is a 21-year-old alcoholic.
Damn right. I come from a long line of alcoholic-type people. There's nothing wrong with that.
Make sure James doesn't turn into that.
Sure, as soon as I leave, I've got it from underneath your mom's left titty.
Wow, fuck you, asshole. How is James doing?
He's very good. Very good, actually.
You beat his ass lately?
No, actually, I haven't had to.
Good. So Matt has a girlfriend now. Matt has a girlfriend that he's talking to.
Oh, you do?
I wish. Shoot.
Is this still a Trish Stratus poster?
I don't even have a Trish Stratus poster. I need to get one. No, I'm serious.
I'm going for someone I've never heard of.
Hold on, let me see.
Pass on that opportunity.
I gotta find out when the next BTW show is, because that's the only promotion that has all the posters and shit.
Do they sell blow-up dolls, too?
What did you say, AJ?
It's a blog doll. Like the lifestyle. You know how they got the little dolls of, you know, the little, like the beanbag joints.
Oh my God, AJ. Yeah, really? Oh my
God. What is so funny? I'm asking a legit question. Do they have the little blow up dolls? Because if they saw the posters, they should have the little blow up dolls. I mean,
he's quiet. Wow, we are like in my crazy archive mode. We're at 6:30. Well, it's like 3:30 over. What time is it over? 3:30 already.
Almost 3:30.
Damn, it's like 6:30.
The next show in July 27th. I'll be there.
That's a Friday.
Oh, okay.
That's a Friday, isn't it?
Yeah.
I believe so.
This one promotion that I was talking about, they always do their shows on Fridays.
Okay.
So I have a question for you, Matt.
Yes?
If the Earth suddenly decides to blow up, right, how much do you think it will matter? I mean, not the Earth, but let's say that California finally separates from, you know, the United States, right? Do you think we're actually going to... I can't say it. It's very rude and ignorant. It's just rude and ignorant. I'm not going to do this to you.
I would never say such things about Philadelphia, okay? So
I could care less about Philadelphia, okay? If they decide to hold a riot right now in downtown Philly, it wouldn't have nothing to do with me. I'd be happy to be rioting downtown, because downtown doesn't do shit anyhow. Fuck Philadelphia.
Well, all these other cities have had their riots with this Occupy crap, but I have no business down there.
You guys still having that Occupy situation?
No, they finished that. They got that shit over with. But I'm just saying, I never had no business with that.
He's hiding because people were making fun of him.
I thought you were part of the cult.
Heck no.
Matt Alvarez, a part of, you know, Occupy Oakland.
Oh, hell no. I would never go to Oakland for that shit.
Why not?
Yo, leave the kid alone. Leave the guy alone. All he does all day, he works, he comes home, he eats his food, he goes to bed, he works, he eats, he does internet radio, he goes home. He hangs out with his friends, he comes home, he works, that's it. Okay? That's how my life works. If you can't
exactly.
deal with it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Shut up, man.
Make me.
If I was asked you, I would.
Yo, Matt's been turning into a feisty little person lately.
Who are you calling little?
Oh, you're little. I've seen pictures of you. You're like 5'1". Okay. I'm trying to get him to flip the hell out because I want to hear Matt flip out.
Well, Eric, since you said that, you know what I say about that?
What?
What about me, Eric? What about me? What about Matt Alvarez?
Hey, man. I'm going to put it to you like this. Eric, have you ever seen Real Housewives of Atlanta? Or have you ever watched
Hell yeah. Oh my God, yeah, I've heard of it. Never seen it.
You've heard of it? Okay, well, Matt, have you ever heard of it?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, have you ever seen the episode?
Some of them.
You have? So then what I'm about to tell you, right, you won't be offended by, right?
It all depends.
No, Matt will not be offended. Go ahead, say it.
All right. Hey, Matt, stop being tardy for your party.
Oh, shut the hell up. Just shut the fuck up.
Your party's waiting.
Shut the hell up.
I'm getting hungry, man. I'm about to get some pizza.
Here we go.
Are you
going to
FedEx
me
some pizza, too?
You're not getting pizza. AJ's going to have some pizza. Me and AJ are like the food buddies. We like to eat food. I'm about to go get some chicken, too. I'm hungry for some chicken.
Go to KFC. I got a bunch of KFC coupons in the mail this week.
KFC.
Hey.
It's all about churches. Yeah, it's all about churches chicken.
AJ. Hot Popeyes.
AJ, when a man needs to eat, a man will do anything to eat. Am I right?
Yeah. It depends on what we're eating.
Well, you know, if you have no choice but to eat KFC chicken, would you?
I'm not eating anything of KFC after I've worked there. Hell no.
So
hell
if
no.
All you could afford, if all you could afford was KFC chicken, you would not do it. You would not eat it. You would starve.
Yes, I literally starve to death.
McDonald's is where it's better for you.
McDonald's? No.
You don't like McDonald's either? Then you're really going to starve to death.
No, McDonald's is okay. I just don't eat it right.
I think that's all Matt eats. I think Matt eats KFC and McDonald's.
I haven't had KFC in like almost 3 years.
Damn.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I find that hard to believe. I mean, you're getting coupons in the mail.
That's because I haven't had a coupon
KFC.
In the mail. In...
Sounds like somebody eats KFC daily.
I would never eat KFC daily.
Yeah, that shit's not good for you, man.
Yeah. Matt be telling me he cooks. He's a cook. He cooks for himself.
Oh, so why don't you have go to a culinary art school, man?
No, I'm a cook, but I'm not a professional cook. I'm not that great. So I can't go to no cooking school. I'll burn down the place, and they'll be like, get the hell out of here. You're expelled.
So you'll be like,
I'll be like, what? I'll be like, what about my tuition? They'll be like, fuck you. We're not paying your tuition after all. Get out.
Matt should be a comedian. Matt's pretty funny.
He does.
Yo, AJ, what's your thoughts on Dragon Ball Z?
What, the cartoon, anime?
Yeah, anime.
What's my thoughts on it?
Yeah, you look like a Dragon Ball Z fan.
I miss it. I miss it a lot. You're talking about the very original one, right?
Yeah, with Goku, and yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah, I miss it, but you know what, they should have an anime channel. They have so
they
many
do.
Anime.
They do. Cartoon America. Cartoon.
No, not Cartoon Network. No, it's not an anime channel. That's just a regular channel that, you know, was built for cartoons of Hanna-Barbera, you know what I'm talking about.
So, Matt, what's on your... Matt, if you turn on your TV right now, what's on TV?
Crap.
What do you mean, crap? What channel's on?
Well, I just have it on the music channel right now.
Okay. AJ, what's on your TV if you turn it on?
The news.
News? ESPN for me.
ESPN, huh?
Matt,
what are they talking
about?
ESPN. Huh?
Do you watch HBO at night?
Yes, I do.
Oh, you're sick. You are sick.
Why do you...
No, that was a nice... I didn't even see that one coming.
Why do you say that?
I didn't see that coming.
That question, right?
Why do you say that, AJ?
You caught him off guard. Do you watch HBO at night? And you said yes. And you don't see anything wrong with that? Man, I thought you were better than that.
AJ, are you an insomniac?
Am I what?
No, not AJ. Matt, I called you AJ. Wow. Matt, are you an insomniac?
If you say so, I guess I have to admit it.
Oh, my God. I don't even believe we're having these conversations.
I think we're basically trying to find ourselves.
We're trying to find ourselves. I pretty much have found myself.
Yeah, in a big bowl of chicken.
Oh.
Smoking beer, pool guy, crazy heavily smoker, CCW fan.
Can we do a show again? Your show? So I can fall asleep.
Oh, sure. Right after we do one of your shows.
And it'll be good. It'll be great.
Sure. Right after the Golden Gravatt comes back.
Fuck you, you fucking faggot. We've been going for 2.5 hours.
Man, it is
just it. No, just a thought. Is anybody going to go see the new Spider-Man?
Are you paying?
I like that one.
If you live here, yeah.
This is probably the most fun I've had on the show in that long. And it wasn't even intended. Pretty much I wanted to call in and, like, start with AJ, start messing around with AJ, get mad at mad, and then hang up and end the show. But you know what? I'm having fun.
Yeah, because you're not
asleep.
I am sleeping. Hold on one second. I'm actually, like, laying in my bed right now.
Matt, I just like to prepare you. If he starts snoring like he did to the guy that called into my show like 2 a.m. in the morning, remember that about 2 years ago?
Oh, my God, that was horrible. Yeah, when Vinny DeGuido called in.
Yeah, I remember.
No, it wasn't just Vinny DeGuido. It was the other guy from that Arizona wrestling company.
He didn't. That wasn't on that night. That wasn't that night, bro.
No, you did fall asleep.
Not on him, though. We called from Todd. Todd called him. We were just talking on the phone, me and you. And I never fell asleep when having that guy on. I was never even on the air when he was on the air.
It was me, you, Todd, JT.
I was never on the air. I wasn't on the air. I never called in, brother.
You did call in. And you went...
I didn't.
And they asked about who was that snoring, and that was you.
Oh, my God.
Are you sure you didn't call in?
He did call in. And he was the one snoring, and I had to mute him.
Oh, boy.
It was probably boring hearing about fucking Max Vitale. Nobody wants to hear about him.
It wasn't Max Vitale. Max Vitale came into the conversation at the very end, and that's when you started waking up and laughing.
Yeah.
Ah, now the truth comes out.
Yeah. All right, guys. We're on the show right now.
Exactly.
All right, AJ. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, no problem.
All right. Matt, we'll talk to you.
Later, DDP. Thanks for listening to this whole conversation of awkwardness.
Matt.
Yeah.
We've had a great show, haven't we?
Yes, and we'll see what the numbers are later tonight.
Yeah, why don't you just call me right after the show's over?
All right.
Okay.
All right, later.
All right, see you guys. Sports Opinion Show next week. Eric Corvus, Nick French Appreciation Show. Thank you for tuning in. Bye.